And so, sometimes you just got to close your eyes and just, you know, I was hearing angels, I swear. You know, it was, you know, obviously my wife was one of those voices, but no, but as if like his presence, like that's our heart. Like that's our soul. Well, that's what it's longing for. That fellowship, J.U. oh no, it's just thank you, Pedro. Thank you in your life, man. My old job, there was a coworker, and she's like, "Who is that guy singing? He had the crazy hair." And I'm like, "Oh, that's probably Pedro. And she's like, "Man," and she was watching it online. She's like, "Man, that kid ministered to me." And like, you know, I was like, and then I related that to him. I was like, "Bro, you don't even know like your portion, you know? You don't even know." And so it's just like, thank you for that. All right, so Lord, just bless these few words in Jesus' name, amen. So in Florida, there was a leaders' conference, and I've been in a lot of leaders, not leaders' conference, it was a convention, but we always have a day where just the leaders come around and speak. And every time I'm you know, part of this meeting, one topic that doesn't get mentioned. I mean, you hear a lot about leadership and how a church is run, and then, you know, there's certain issues that some pastors are dealing with in their congregation, and then there's some great testimonies. But one thing that doesn't get brought up is an assistant pastor, the roles of an assistant pastor. And so, you know, I was just going to ask Pastor Schaller, and then the Holy Spirit is like, "You have the Bible, you look." All right. Hey, did that to me, you know, so so that's what we're going to talk about today. Something fresh. I pray it's fresh to you. It's fresh to me. And if you don't mind turning to Exodus 24, and we're just going to look in the roles of an assistant pastor. No pun intended. I know I'm speaking, but this is really, it's just like in my heart, I'm like, you know, it doesn't get talked about. I went to Titus 1 and 2, you know, I see there was a role of an older man and then an older woman in the church. And then I went to Ephesians 4, and I know there's apostles, there's, you know, prophets, there's pastors, teachers, there's evangelists. But then there's no roles of a pastor, an assistant pastor. So we're going to look on to it right now, Exodus 24, verse 13. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua. All right. And Moses went up to the mountain of God. Okay. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we and Aaron." So the beautiful part is, like, we know it was just Joshua and Moses that went up. Okay. And then in 15 through 18, then Moses went up into the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Now it doesn't say where in the particular point Joshua was. We know Moses went into the cloud. Actually, we're just going to read later on that Moses talked to God like a friend talks to a friend. It was that intimate. And so, and the point, we don't know particularly where Joshua was, but we know he was in the midst of it. I remember I preached a message 2 years ago, and it says things we hear or things that we see up close. So it was based on Isaiah 33, verse 13. And then this verse says, "Hear, you who are far off, what I have done. And you who are near, acknowledge my might." Like, people who hear stories or people who's, like, in the midst, right? You know, let's say Gayla, she's not a foreign mission field, right? But she had her own mission just a couple of days ago, you know, raising money for Children of Grace. Like, she not only has a story, but she's seeing the hand of God, right? So you don't have to go in places to witness God's might or God's power. So So let's go to Exodus 34. There's another portion where Joshua, we see that he was close. Exodus 34. All right, so this is the tablets, when he brought the tablets. 34 verse 11. It says, observe what I command you this day. Behold, I am driving out from you, from before you. Wait one second. That's not it. That's not it. Outside the... Okay, so... Let's get it back. Okay, Joshua stood outside the tent. So that's what I should be looking for. Outside the tent. And many of you are probably familiar with the story. Let's see. 33:11. Thank you, Carolyn. 33:11. Yep, bingo. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out? Well, that's not it either. 33. I'm off. 33. Yes, that's it. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So again, we have incidents, proof that he was around. Every time Moses had an encounter with God, Joshua was there, right? And if you don't mind, to Deuteronomy 31. Now, so we know that basically Moses brought, as he's going through this adventure, Joshua was always on his side. I like to think like Moses really invested in this young man, not only when he's going through this adventure, but it's like, hey, this is how you respect the presence of God. And he probably recited the story when he was talking to the burning bush, and he had to take off his shoes because the land was the ground was holy. These are probably incidents, the little bits and pieces of what he was trying to tell Joshua. When Joshua 31, verse 1 and 2, we're going to stop here for a little bit. Then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today, and I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. Now, as a leader, for many years doing ministry, that's the hardest part. For so many years, you've ministered. So many years, you've, guided, shepherd. I mean, this is man or woman. The investment, the time you spent, that's so hard when you say you can't continue. You can't go on. Sometimes as a leader, it's tough to, a way you have to, swallow your pride and say, wow, this young man's got to come up behind me, right? The times of the Holy Spirit burning in you, times that when you were quiet with your Bible or you hear these testimonies, the body of work Moses was a part of, it's hard. Moses said, God's telling Moses, you can't cross the land that I've promised you. And let's go to Hebrews 11. And sometimes we have to understand this point too. Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith. And here Moses, so we're going to, the whole night we're going to talk about Moses. It's going to only take 4 or 5 verses. So by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. One sec. Let me just make sure this is on. Okay. Esteeming the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for they looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroys the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so where have they drowned? So having a good testimony, Moses, you're going through all this, and you know, Moses, it's not fair. You're not inheriting. As believers, we always want to inherit something, right? Like we're called children of God, and we're like, oh, there's no way God can not be against us. So he has to be for us. We have to obtain it, right? And we think in obtaining, but here in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. And God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So, obtaining good testimony through faith, like how many people are on this call expecting to get something out of it, and then they don't get something out of it, and then they get out of the call. Like sometimes we have to understand, it's not about obtaining, let me take this out, because I got to move around. It's not about obtaining promises. It's about fellowshipping with the promiser. That's it. Moses forsook Egypt. Why? It was not a reason. He was not going to be more richer. He was not going to be, obviously, he had to go through the wilderness, and souls were withering on his, you know, on his feet. Like, and they had manna all the time. I mean, I love bread, but man, I can't do it 40 days. But that's the thing. Like, this is what he obtained. This is what he was doing. He was fellowshipping with the promiser. And as believers, like, I know when I got back to Argentina, oh, yeah, how many churches you guys planted? How many souls you guys win? I was like, wait a minute. The work started in me. Like, it was happening. But it's not evident, maybe. Maybe we haven't planted two other churches. We did move. but that's the thing. It's like, it's not about obtaining. Ask Paul, what about obtaining in Philippians 2? Oh, I apprehend, but I've never, I press forward, but I haven't apprehended. Like, that's his forte. Like, I'm never gonna, accomplish, Philippians 3. I'm pressing forward, but I'm never gonna obtain it. But that's fine, because I know I'm leaving the things behind, and I'm going forward because I'm fellowshipping with the promiser. And that's the joy, and that's the joy that's set before me. And, okay, let me calm down. Alright, so Deuteronomy 31, let's go back there. So again, Moses is having his last words, per se, like his last sayings. And he's doing all this in 3 verse 6. And the Lord your God himself crosses over before you. And he will destroy these nations from before you. And you shall dispose of them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do them. And then he's going on. And oh yeah, in verse 6, be strong and good courage, and do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. This phrase has been met not only in Deuteronomy, but in Joshua a couple of times too. And maybe, I don't know what the repeat, maybe just like Paul's telling Timothy, like, don't be timid. Like, you're right. Like, you know, you have the word of God. You're equipped. Like, maybe just encouraging Joshua, knowing that he's going to step forward. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of Israel, be strong and good courage, for you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. So, again, and actually, in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9, Moses actually lays hands on Joshua. Now, as assistant pastor would be Joshua in this picture. And now he's ready. He's probably zealous. He was outside of the camp. He was right on Mount Sinai with Moses, witnessing as a young, maybe zealous, the energy, right? We're so quick to be like, oh, we got to take over. But here Moses is like, hey, no, like, wait your turn. Like, God's going to use you too. God's going to do wonders for you. So being a great number two is very important. David had a number two, and you would think it's Jonathan. No, it was Nathan, because Nathan had wisdom for him. He had wisdom that he needed. Solomon, they say he fell miserably because he didn't have a number two. He actually had too many women, but he didn't have a number two. All right. Elijah the priest, he had a great number two in Jeremiah. But he was a terrible number one. So, like, you know, you got to have hand in hand. Elijah to Elisha, That's a great number one, too. Jesus had 12 disciples, right? But he called three, right? Three on Matthew verse 17, he called three up, James, John, and Peter, right? This is like his inner circle, like, oh, I'm going to invest in you guys more. And obviously, he's not in particular persons, but like he's doing that, an investment. Paul had many, Timothy, Titus, Lydia, Luke, Barnabas. Like these men and women he invested, and many more through the book of Acts you can see. So, anyway, where we at? Okay, so Joshua ready to take over. Okay, so I'm sure the whole crowd of Israel was like, oh, you got some big shoes to fill. I mean, this is Moses. He created the Torah. He added 600 more laws. Thank you, Moses, to the law. Like, you got some big shoes to fill, right? And I'm sure Pastor Billy have heard that. And not only maybe criticism, but maybe in his head, or maybe the enemy say, oh, you got to take over for Pastor Morrison. That's some big shoes to fill. I wish it is. But like, we're just blessed by Pastor Billy's life. All right. So, these are the things probably Joshua had to hear before he took over. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. And these are the four promises that anybody who's an assistant, and let's like, besides the pastor, anybody who's an assistant, just know these four things. That, and we're going to see it right here in chapter 1. All right? Joshua chapter 1. Here we go. 1 verse 3. Every place that your sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. And let's go to 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Okay, so the first point, there is rest in his provision. So first point, knowing that you're about to take this role of leadership, there is rest in his provision. You know, you're never going to be uneasy. If there's something you're uneasy, then it's not God's will. It's probably your will. So just knowing that there's rest in his provision. That's number one. Number two, in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or just be dismayed, for the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. Okay? So it says it right there, like God is with you wherever you go. That's number two. Number three, the verse before, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may be observed to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, command you. And do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So number three, is you will prosper wherever you go. Now, this is not prosperity gospel right here. No, prosper meaning like you're not going to fall over. Don't go left and don't go right. God's going to have you in the right path. So the final point, and this is very important. So if you ever wanted to know, and especially you young people, like how to have an successful life, right? You want to know, like, how do I have a successful life? Let's look at verse 8 together. Okay, so this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So, boys and girls, success, right? Meditate on his law. Meditate on Psalm 1, verse 1, or verse 2, 1, verse 2, whatever. Meditate it day and night. What? The word, the law of God. Like, that gives us success. It gives us wisdom. We don't go left. We don't go right. We go right where God wants us to be because of this book. So, meditating. That's how we have success. And thank God in Jeremiah 31, it's not a law anymore. It's not just on tablets. It's actually in our hearts. And it expressed when we mix faith with it. Okay, so the list of things that Joshua had to accomplish. These four things are critical because he had to do a lot. And I'm just going to list them off. Joshua conquered 31 kings, divided a lot of land from the inheritance. He lived in the first, penthouse in the sky. He moved on up to Ephraim. to the east side. Okay, so this is what he did. Witness the walls of Jericho coming down. This is what he did. He was a part of it. In Joshua 10 verse 40, he destroyed all that breathed. Another story, witness the sun stand still. And in verse 14 in that chapter, there has been no day like that before or after. So we can't witness that again. Like, he experienced that. And then the last point I have, I'm sure there's more, but in Joshua 8 verse 35, he continued to communicate the law. In Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, teaching the young in their way, like the importance of youth ministry and the importance of being home with your child and actually talk about God and actually communicate things of God, because they don't hear that anymore. There's too much YouTube up in here, and there's no more God tube. So we need more of that. That's what he was doing. Joshua was communicating that, continuing to communicate to the children of Israel. And this is years after Moses had passed. So this is what he was doing. This is why he needed those four points that I mentioned. Okay. So the fear of not discipline, or bringing up a number two. Okay. Let's go to Judges chapter two. Now, Karen Collins said this to me, on the mission field. She said, train yourself out of the job. And you know, sometimes we're so attached to our jobs or our titles. Like have that mentality. Like, we're the only ones that can do it. I remember in Baltimore, we had an outreach in Passon Park, and I had mostly girls, and they was like, oh, Donald, like, what's going on? Why you only have these girls helping you? And I said, I would love having these boys, but these guys ain't, they're not ready. They don't want it, you know? And so it's like training. You got to look out to find guys, right? Or ladies, to do God's will. So Karen told me that, like, train yourself out of the position. Why? Because God will promote. And if you don't, this is what happens. So in Judges chapter 2 verse 10, it says, when all that generation had been gathered to the fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Now, let me not just say, like, Joshua died and then the work stopped. No, after it said it continued, Joshua's elders continued the work. But then in this verse, that's what happens. Actually, to summarize it, in chapter 1, God tells them not to inherit, the different gods and the different tribes that they're trying to conquer. And actually, they were mixing what God told them not to do. And then this was leading to Israel's disobedience. But this is what happened. So when you don't have a number two, you don't train somebody, the work doesn't continue. Like, it stops. Right? And like, that's, I pray that's not like our metaphor. I know in Bible college, it's come, grow, and go. It doesn't say stay put. And you know, it says go. I remember Pastor Stevens, ABD class, he goes like, he's like, you guys find your own pulpits. This is mine. Like, I was like, yo, I was like, I would love to be up in there. You know, I would have been standing up like, let's go. Like, no, he's encouraging, like, yo, don't get comfortable where you are. Like, go out, find your own church, find your own pulpits. Okay. So yeah, this was like, he excites me sometimes when I hear him, but like, training a number two, the crucial point, because the work has to continue. After. So, I'm adding this to close. So I went online, and that's the best search, Wikipedia. No, I'm just kidding. So churchleaders.com said the seven things that make up, assistant pastor. Number one, good chemistry with the ministry leader. Number two, keeps open lines of communications. Number three, love of ministry. Number four, strong relation skills. Number five, thick skin, like criticism. And most of the time, it's the leader minister getting attacked. Like, how are you going to react? You going to join the criticism, or you going to defend? Because that happens. Be proactive and flexible. Number six, and seven, be competent. Now, this this man, Dr. McKay, wrote this little blog and actually spoke to me, because at times I feel like this, and God forgive me, but this is how he said it. How, and this is like the middle of his little thing. However, most of us graduated with jobs as an assistant pastor. Yeah, we have the opportunity to preach, and some of us regularly, but we were not given the keys to the car just yet. Those assistant pastor days can feel like having a driver's permit, where there are still significant restrictions imposed and boundaries established on just how far you can go in exercises and developing your driving skills or preaching skills or leadership skills. And those assistant pastors' limitations can prove to be a bit frustrating for those of us who think we are ready to drive the bus. And then in closing, he says this, and if you are an assistant pastor, you are on the team, and you are on that team, your job is not to lead the team, but to contribute to the team by using your gift in such a way that moves the ball down the field to the goal. When we forget our role on the team, it is easy to get frustrated, delusional, or angry, bitter, or even lose heart completely. But I want to thrive as an assistant pastor, whether for 1 year or maybe 10 years or more. So that was his blog. That felt like, I felt that. I was like, oh, wow. And Joshua, not really rushing, the cart before the horse, per se. Like, Joshua is like learning his place, you know, acknowledging Moses, how he was, there was times when Moses was going in darkness, and the people were like, oh, why are you going in darkness? And Moses is like, oh, no, God is dwelling in there. He's ready to speak to me. And maybe Joshua caught that, like, oh, you know what? It's not natural eyes. It's like, it's all about spiritual. When you feel something spiritual, you go leading that way. Or maybe Moses, with all the complaints, hearing all the complaints, and then he getting frustrated. Joshua probably peaked that too. It's like, Moses, you know you shouldn't strike that rock twice, right? Like, no, but this is what he witnessed, right? I love Pastor Schaller. The incident happened in Lenox, right? And Pastor Schaller said, there would be not one time where I would receive any envelope or any money, right? He would not do it. He's like, talk to the elders, talk to the people in the front. Do not give me what? Because he's witnessed that before. And it's like, sometimes we make mistakes. Yes, we're leaders. And sometimes we fall down. Yes, but if we're not learning from our mistakes, right? And to say, right, it can happen to anybody. But you have to go through things to say, okay, I've learned that. I'm not going to do that. Okay. And with the assistant pastor, yes, you're not going to be noticed a lot. I remember Pastor Mike Daigle mentioned to me, there was times before he was volunteering for almost 11 years going to Concord and the women's prison and the men's prison. But he said Flo Wilson would drive him every single night to go there. And every time he goes there, everyone's like, oh, Pastor Mike, thank you for showing up. And obviously, Flo had her influence on especially these guys, big guys. But the thing is, like, you don't see the work, all say. It's not about persaying. It's not about, you know, portraying it or publicizing it even. It's like, no, we're doing it, like it said in the blog, like contributing down the field to the goal. And so an assistant is a very crucial thing. If you're on the team or if you're inspired, even at work, this can pertain practical. You're at work, you've been behind someone who's been there 30 years. I shared this story one time. I remember in Owings Mills, I was in a print shop, and my coworker Joe, he kept repeating all the time. He kept repeating. So I'm over here mixing inks, and he told me once again, and I said, Joe, I know. And then the Holy Spirit stopped me. He's like, you don't know. Like, this man's been in this business for 30 years. Like, what he's telling, if he has to tell you 30 more times, just listen, right? Like, we don't know. Like, Pastor Bailey had an awesome message about, in Bible college. It said something about being humble, right? Being humble. Like, Joshua had to be that. He had to be humble. And that's what's great, because all the, again, 31 kings, Jericho coming down. Like, these are the things he's witnessed, and like, there's a special reward for that. And this is the work. We want the work to continue. Listen, like the Bible says, we come like seasons, right? We're here one day, we're gone the next. But what continues? What continues? What happens? What happens when this ministry continues to grow and we have more young men like this one here going to Bible college? And then what if he's going to stop? I hope not, Stephen. But like, this is what happens. Like, we continue to grow. We continue to bring up, right? And no condemnation, but there's actually a 14-year-old boy who comes Thursday nights to Bible college. Just saying. Caden Torres. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say the name. All right. So if y'all, like, how we support our pastor, how we support the leader, compliment him and joining him in there, having good chemistry, keep open lines of communication. I love Pastor Bailey. He kind of gives me free range what to do, but he's never like nitpicking, but I hope sometimes he tells me when I'm wrong. But like, these are the things you have to have, that communication, right? Because he is the leader and he's doing his thing. And we were at any job, we would want to have an assistant that, like, good, like we are to that person or particular place, right? So, wow, that's a lot said, huh? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, Lord. And thank you for men like Joshua, Lord. Strong. Be of good courage. That word has been mentioned so many times. But as believers, man, we need to hear that more and more. And Lord, and it's not about obtaining no inheritance. It's not about gaining the recognition. It's about what? Fellowship with the promiser. That's what we're about. We're here tonight for one reason. We're not here just to hear, you know, Pedro's great voice and his cool sweater. No, we're just here to hear the word of God and fellowshipping with the promiser. Lord, help us in our hearts. Like that song, Holy Spirit, you are always welcome, not only here, but in our lives, in our closets, in our homes, in our cars, in our jobs. Lord, give us people knowing that we are missionaries everywhere we go. I thank you for the body. This body is incredible. All the time supporting missionaries. Lord, I gotta give up to this body because every time they lift me up when I see them on a Sunday or little sayings or little words that they have for me in that time. Thank you for this body. Lord, continue to protect us. Continue to make us grow. Continue us to have a drive. It was so good this morning, just opening my Bible, looking through and studying what roles of an assistant pastor. But Lord, let us have that desire to continue and not worry all the details of the world, you know, that chokes the word. Like, let us continue to drive forward. Let us continue to fellowshipping with you. And then maybe we have a time when we're not in our Bibles. Let us just be in prayer. Maybe we don't have time in prayer. Let us be in song or praise. Like, Lord, let us have a day when we say, oh, okay, I had a moment with God. And let us continue to push forward and continue doing the work to push the goal, to push downward that goal. And just thank you for this night. In Jesus' name, amen.